turn to the book of Luke, chapter 13. St. Luke, chapter 13. We'll start reading with verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We're seeing right here where it's basically right here, Jesus is talking about the individuals, and talking about the individuals and the type of sin that they was in. And not only that, is where the blood had been shed there at Pilate's, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Ye must repent. There's not much preaching on that anymore, on repentance. But if we do anything wrong after salvation, and when we come to things in life that we can't handle, and then we'll turn around and we'll do something really as basically wrong as a Christian, and we should not do it. And we'll come to the altar. Yes, we'll come to the altar. The altar means a whole lot. The altar is a place of forgiveness. It's a place of promises. It's places of blessing. But we have to come to the altar and we have to confess our sins to a holy and righteous God. But we just don't come up here and we just don't bow our knees and say, Lord, forgive me for what I said today, or the way I spoke to someone this past week. Or, Lord, just forgive me for I didn't call nobody this week and I didn't visit nobody, but just forgive me, Lord. No, we have to go and we have to repent of that first. And we have to ask the Lord. And we need to tell him that we're coming to him in repentance. Now, what that repentance means is that we're asking the Lord to help us to turn our life around and walk in a new direction. And I know a whole lot of people use the word repentance, and they will use it as far as salvation concerned, and that's good. But I believe that repentance really is really meant for the Christian. Now, that's my belief. You can have another one, fine. I'm not going to argue with you. I ain't going to argue with no one about God's precious word. Because God knows his word. And he had, allowed St. Luke, Dr. Luke, to pin these words down to where we could have them at our forefront if we need it. Now, if it's something that we don't need today, he's not going to give us a place to go to. He's not going to give us a chapter to go to if we don't need it today. I mean, that's just like, you know, I don't know about y'all now, but, you know, a good pecan pie. I love it, pecan pie. But I should not eat it today. Why? Because if I eat it today, it may make me sick. I don't need to do things just to be doing it. And we get in a rut when we do that. We get in a rut when we're just doing it just to be doing it. Just like a pastor I knew, he said from the pulpit, and he, boy, stumped me there. But he said this. If I can think of the right way. Allow it not to be an excuse, but also have an excuse. Have an excuse and not having an excuse is basically the same thing. And even with the attitude of the people, even with the attitude of me, the attitude of you, the attitude of the people that we come in contact with. They don't know what it really means this day and time. Just like I said before, I've said so many times before, the children, the young adults that are just out here just carefree, going and doing what they want to do, and they know down deep in their heart that they should be in church. Because that's where they got saved at, if they're saved. They got saved because of the preaching of God's word. You don't have to come to church and get saved right here at church. But you have to come to church. You have to hear the gospel. And the gospel has to penetrate your heart. And when it penetrates your heart, you may leave the services that day, but you will not forget about the services. You will not forget about every song that's sung. You won't forget about one portion of the message the preacher brought. But you know, there's so many things that people say, I got time. I got time to get back in church. You got time? I wonder where they're getting their information from. Because the information that I get every day is that God's Word tells me that I am not promised the next second. I'm not promised tomorrow. The only thing I am promised that I'm going to heaven one day when he wants to call my number or every way you want to say it, but I'm going home one day. And I just soon to leave right now. I just soon for him just to go and take me home right now. Because see, that's what we're supposed to look to. We're supposed to look for his appearing. Over in the book of Titus, I believe it is in chapter 2. I think that's where it says what I'm going to read. Yeah. Titus in chapter 2 here is speaking of the pastoral's work of a true minister. What would you say, or what would you think that my work is? What should I concentrate on as far as fulfilling my obligation to the Lord? Well, it says right here, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Don't speak of something that is going to get the individual thinking about, well, you know, I just read it the other day and I don't quite believe it that way. Other words, don't get in an argument with somebody. Because I tell you, there's more people like that today that wants to take this Bible, the King James Bible, they want you to discuss it with them. And when you do that, they're doing it for one reason only. They're trying to get you in an argument. Because when you get in an argument, you start talking, well, I do anyhow. I'll start talking a little fast. And a whole lot of times when I talk a little fast, my tongue gets ahead of the brain. And it don't work as well. We must think about what we're going to do. It says that, in verse 4, it says, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, and to love their children. Verse 5 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers, at home, good, obedient to thy own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, and gravity and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. Pattern of good works. Pattern of good works means your character. What type of character can somebody say that you are? When somebody looks at your life and looks in the way you walk and the way you talk and what you talk about, that establishes your character. And if we talk with a bunch of jibber jabber and we talk about a bunch of stuff that ain't got no business being talked about, that's not sound speech. Sound speech right here in verse 8, it says, sound speech that cannot be condemned. You know what that is, sound speech? You know what Titus is right here talking about? Sound speech. Now, what kind of sound speech am I speaking about? The sound speech is this word of God. Sound speech is what God wants you to say. We know when God speaks to us about saying something in the way we need to say it. God's no figment of my imagination. God's real to me. He's real to my life. But some people, they think they've got all the time in the world that they can just sit back and enjoy life as it goes. They can do anything they want to. And one day they can come to church and they can come to the altar and they can shed tears and they can cry and they can moan and they can groan and everything and ask the Lord to save them. And there's no guarantee they'll get saved. Because God's word said the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. In other words, the Holy Spirit will not always bring conviction to an individual. He will bring conviction until he gets a little tired of it, of y'all just playing politics or what you want to call it. But and we just don't need to be talking just to be talking. We can sit back and we can listen to a group of people speaking and talking. It's talking about the Bible or talking about everyday life or whatever. But in the conversation that you get yourself into, you're going to learn something from it. You're going to learn something from that conversation. Either you're going to learn more about God, or you're going to learn more about Satan. It's the Holy Spirit of God that will bring God's marvelous grace down to our knees. It will carry us all the way down where it will bring forth salvation. It will appear to all men. I've never seen anyone yet that actually comes to the altar and they repent and they ask the Lord to save them, and they crying, and they said, Lord, just let me go tell my family what happened tonight. Just let me go tell my family that I got saved tonight. And just let me live the Christian life in front of my family, because my family knows all about me. Up until this point, my family knew all about the past that I was living. But now I want them to learn about the past that I'm going to start living. And we should not even get in no kind of we should not be talking in a manner that will cut through or cut off the speech that we're trying to get across. Because, you know, that's what people are looking for. People are looking for that way, that one little way out, that they don't have to come. My former pastor, years ago, he said this. He said, remember what the Bible teaches about going out two by two. And it was no mistake the reason was put in that two by two. And he says, the way I use the two by two, and I always take somebody with me if they're not going to speak or if they're not going to do anything or nothing, just ride with me. But I always carry somebody else with me, because you never know, I'll go and we'll knock on a door and we'll go inside and we'll sit down with the wife and the husband there, and we'll be talking to them about the church, and the next thing you know, someone come back from the back, a small kid, a child comes out, running won't mama. And especially if you're talking to the parents about salvation and where they will spend eternity. Do they want to spend eternity in a place of joy, a place of peace, a place of happiness? Or do they want to spend an opportunity in hell, where the only thing that they're going to know is the loud noise that they hear? And the noise that they hear is not coming from the individual that's over there. The noise that they hear with their own ears is their own noise. Their own noise and just crying out. And they're just begging God, one more chance, God, one more chance. And I will do exactly as the Holy Spirit asked me to do. Give me one more chance. God says, your chance is done run out. He's just not a God of one and two chances. He is a God of many chances. But when that chance runs out, the Holy Spirit will not be on the scene at all. The Holy Spirit will not be able to had not talked to your heart since the last time you rejected Him. And when you rejected Him the last time, you rejected Him for good. And you rejected not only Him, you rejected God the Father, and you're telling God the Father, He did not know what He was doing when He created the heaven and the earth. How can we say that? I mean, I can't even go out there and create no grass. I can't go out there and just say,
that spot right there, it needs some grass. And I look at it. I hope there's some grass come up out. And I turn around and come back inside, or I'll go home and come back.
Ain't got no grass. See, I can't do what God can do. Only thing I can do is what God asked me to do with His help. But for me just to go out there and do it, I can't do that. Matter of fact, I can't even come in out of the rain without God. Without God, I cannot even be able to stand this morning without God's help. Without God's help, I can't even speak this morning. And I know this morning I'm forgetting a whole lot of stuff that I wanted to say, but hey, I leave it up to God. I don't worry about things like that. As long as God has given me something to say, and as long as I stick to His word, I mean, what else is it? I don't know of anything else that I'd rather be doing. And I'll tell you what. I say in the last 6 months, or maybe the last eight, it's been kind of tough on me. Because my mind's about red gone. It's almost gone. And I ain't saying it as a joke now. Because sometimes I just feel like I'm just one step away from completely losing my mind. I can't remember anything anymore, hardly. I can't do anything anymore. Can't drive. At least my wife won't let me, and Christy won't let me. And I can't mow the grass. Christy and Shelby, either one, won't let me do that. The only thing they tell me in the house, you got your study back in. Going back into your study. I mean, you know, that's good. That's good and it sounds good. But everybody needs something that they can do. Because if they don't have anything at all to do, then what goes around with them in the thinking process, you get to thinking and say, what good am I here? What good am I doing here? Now, I know my wife and my daughter, either one, they don't want the Lord to take me home yet. But they can't stop it. I mean, and I won't joke it. They thought I was, which my daughter says, don't joke like that. You ask Jesus to forgive you for that. And the only thing I said to her, and the only thing I said to Shelby that day, was that I'm 68 or something. I don't know.
I'll be 69 in May. 69.
I'll be 69 in May. But I am promised by God Almighty, not by Son and not by the Holy Spirit. I'm promised by God 70, which is 70 years the last time I checked. So I still got 14 months. And after the 14 months, I'm going to be living on borrowed time. Where's that borrowed time come from? That borrowed time comes from somebody else, another Christian, being disobedient to God. And I just told him, I said, hey, I know that I've got 1 year and 2 months, which is 14 months away. Of fulfilling the promise that God had promised me. Can I hurry it up? Yes, I can hurry it up. I can hurry it up in going home. Matter of fact, I can hurry it up so quick that I could be gone this week. How would I hurry it up? Doing everything I can not to serve God. Don't go out here and talk to people anymore. How about Jesus? You know, when I got saved, I can remember a man there at the church. He's a Sunday school teacher. He come and talk to me. I mean, he just carried on a conversation with me. I didn't know him, and he didn't know me. But he just carried on a conversation with me about a one white church or nothing like that, to where we could get in communication together. And then he'd call me one day and he said, can you meet me at the church tonight at 7 o'clock? And I'd be at work. I said, yeah. I said, maybe 5 or 10 after, but I can be there. And I'd go to the church and we'd go out riding. The next thing we knew, we'd go out visiting. And I'd asked him so many questions about things that we must do to where it can have effect on people. And I learned a whole lot from that man. I mean, if he was talking to you or somebody else or anybody, he would start out just talking to them. But then somebody may come up and say something that will bring up the church or where to go and stuff like that. All he needs is two words to open a door. And if he opens that door, he's going to stay there. And he's going to take them through the Roman road. He's going to take them through the book of John. He's going to take them to the book of Hebrews. He's going to take them to the book of Revelation. And then he's going to take them to the book of the Old Testament. And he says, and some people don't even like to even read the Old Testament. I know Christians right now. I heard him say this. He said, I know of Christians right now that they've been a Christian for years. And they read the Bible. And they attend church. And they're faithful to God. They'll go out and out. And they'll do something for him. They'll witness and they'll talk to him. But yet when it comes right down to the bottom line, what I seen within them, they had a purpose in what they were doing. And they made a total commitment to the Lord. I think what the problem is today, what I see, and I may be completely wrong, but if I am, I'm going to ask the Lord now to forgive me if I am wrong in what I'm about to say. That is no way any world that I could take any verse of Scripture and read it and I just get this out of it. Like in verse 13 in Titus chapter 2. Looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. Man, I got a blessing coming. And I got a hope that's coming. And what it says, looking for that blessed hope. And the blessed hope is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That's the blessed hope. Praise God. Hallelujah. And a great God, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the good God of God. No. He lifts him a whole lot higher than that. Looking for the glorious appearing of who? The great God in heaven. He is above everything. I'm not supposed to lower him down to my level. I'm not even supposed to even think about lowering him down to my level. And I cannot say, even the day that I got saved, that the Holy Spirit lowered him down to my level so I could get saved. No, I didn't lower him down, and the Holy Spirit did not lower God down to where I could get saved, because God. Now you know, over the book of Psalms, and I think it's chapter 40. Psalms Psalms chapter 40. I'm gonna read it because I know I would miss half the words in it, so I'm gonna read it. It says in Psalms chapter 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up to say, hey, brought him up. Did he tie a rope around him? Did he provide a ladder for him? No. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. In other words, what he's saying right here is that he came down where I was at the lowest point of my life. I was down in the mire. I was down in that, like in the septic tank, where all the crud's at. And where all the filth is at, that's where I was at. But he didn't come down, he just didn't come down and say, well, no, it's too nasty down there. I'm going to just sit on the rope down there. I'm going to just send somebody else to help him out. It's too nasty down there. No. Hey, I was nasty. But he came. And he brought me up out of the pits of hell. He brought me up out of sin, and he established my goings. He established my goings. And what kind of goings was that established? He established my goings of going and being a testimony unto him, going and testifying for the Lord God Almighty that went to heaven, hallelujah, and gonna carry me to heaven one day. And praise God, and I had that promise. I still got the same promise that I had back in August, the second Monday in August of 1980. I still got that same promise then, still got the same promise today, because if he gave me that promise, you're going to spend eternity with me. And you have 3 score in 10 years that I promise you. But he says, son, now, within that 3 score of 10, I've promised you, you can just make it to be 2 score years. Or you can make it to be 3 score minus 15. What am I saying about that? I'm saying that it's up to an individual how long they want to live. And if we don't want to live for God, God's not going to have us around here much longer. I believe that because God's word says that we must obey him. We got the 10 commandments in the Old Testament, and we got the 2 commandments in the New Testament. And we cannot have the New Testament without the Old Testament, and we cannot have the law without grace, and we cannot have grace without the law. We got to have it all. We got to take it all together, and we just said, God, you just explain it to me, because I don't know how to read it. You explain it to me, God. And as you explain it to me, I'll accept it. I'll accept it. Verse 3 is in Psalms. And he hath put a new what? Song in our mouth. He is taken out the filthy things that we were saying. He's took out the filthy things that we were thinking about. He was just taking things out of our life that was leading us in the wrong direction. But he was giving us a new song. And I don't know about you, but I think about that new song right there. And he has put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I mean, really, I can't come out and tell it absolutely sure what that new song is speaking of right here. But I believe the new song, this is me now. The new song that he's speaking about right here, I believe that it took me out of the horrible pits of hell. And he established my goings. And then in my goings, as I go out and as I witness and as I testify to being a Christian and to being giving a testimony unto him, the new song comes about. I believe what that new song is all about. That the ones, that the angels in heaven know nothing about it. That's the song of being redeemed. I've been redeemed by what? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his blood has been applied to my life. It's been applied to my head all the way to and down to my toes. I was baptized in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I came forward and I joined a Bible-believing church. Did not even like the devil, like to kick the devil around all the time. And that's what we must do. I think a whole lot of times we just let things slide. And we say, God, can't you help us? When we let things slide and we don't never say anything about it or against it, what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. You know, I got an example. I got an example of you just letting things go and not doing the right thing, just letting it slide. What about the United States of America? You know, people have said, you know, it looks like God's going to have to forgive. Going to have to forgive Lot's wife. And he's going to have to forgive all the things that they done back in Gomorrah. He's not going to do that. He's not going to forgive them for that. He asked them. He told them not to do it. And they went on and done it anyhow. I want to ask you something else too. Do you think that he will let Sodom and Gomorrah go, keep going on even through this day without being punished? Without being punished by the hand of God. Do you think the United States of America, that was founded and established by Christian men and families, but the Christians will not speak up, I hear. Like today, they won't speak up. They won't speak up. And God holds us accountable for that. We're going to have to give God an account for that. I'm going to have to give God an account for every word that I say and every idle word that I don't say for him. I'm going to have to give an account. And the more I think about it, that's one appointment I don't really want to have with him, is being face to face with him. And he asked me all the questions, what I done after salvation, after I was saved, the things that I did that I shouldn't have done, and things that I did not do that I should have done. I'm going to have to give an account for all of that. Not only that, we as Americans, a citizen of the United States, the greatest country that there is on this God-given earth today, he's going to punish us. He's going to punish us for not staying beside him and standing up for him. Because every time that they pass a law in Washington, D.C., or Richmond, Virginia, or North Carolina, everywhere they pass a law against the church, against Christianity together, and we don't say nothing, we say, well, I voted for it. Vote against things? Nah, you know, I'm not but one individual. What in the world can I change? What can I change? As long as I got God on my side, I can change anything with God's help. But I have to be the voice of it for people to hear it. And God will give me the exact words to say. And I love him today more than ever. With all of my problems with my health right now that I got going on, I love him more and more. Let me tell you why. If it wasn't for my problems that I'm having, I wouldn't need the Lord. I wouldn't need him to go to.
and to pray to him and ask him, Lord, my brother, he's lost. He said that he got saved when he was 17 years old, when he went to church with his friends back then. But Father, I see no fruit in his life. And I'm not judging, because some people say, well, that's judging. No, I ain't judging. I don't see no fruit in his life. You know what I see? I see an old dead tree. I don't see no leaves on it. I don't see no, I don't see nothing on it. I don't see no bark on a tree. I see a dead tree. Why? Because he don't even say anything about God no more. And if I invite him to church, he don't listen. He turns his hearing aids off, just like we're supposed to turn them on to where we can hear what the preacher says. But he turns his off. And I know one day that he's going. If you tell people that you saved, you got saved a long time ago, you was in church then, you got saved, but something happened, you just got out of church and everything. If you say that too much and too often, God will stop that number from getting any higher in your age. Just like I said earlier. I mean, if he wants to take me today, I'm ready. I'm ready and I'm looking. I'm looking for Jesus. That's who I want to see. I want to see Jesus. Because he does so much more for me. He has saved my soul where I don't have to go to hell. He's given me a good wife that's in church, a Christian, that loves the Lord. He's also given me and my wife a daughter that loves us and loves God. God comes first in her life, though. It's not us. It's not family. See, that's what, I think that's what the problem is. We put family ahead of anything with God. Now, I know I've seen, and you're probably thinking about what I've said in the past, that your family comes before the church. You're right, it does. God is number one. He was right there at the beginning. He was there before the beginning. And then God ordained and instituted the marriage there in the book of Genesis. And then what come about? Family come about. Because Adam and Eve, they produced individuals. They had children. And they had multitudes of children. Every child of God, every individual that is breathing the breath air of God is from Adam and Eve. That's where it started. That's where the family started. That's where God instituted marriage. Was right there in the book of Genesis. It went back then. It went 100 years back. They said, well, all they had about, an individual, he had about 60, 70 concubines and everything. Well, it don't make no difference back then. But it started when? Just with Adam and just with Eve. And Eve, she ended up being the strongest one of them of all. Because how did Eve come about? God took Adam's most important rib that he had. And that's where came woman. I mean, I tell people all the time, ain't no way that I cannot keep up with my wife. When I could walk real good, and when I could talk right and everything, not get my words all slurred up and everything sometimes, I knew that she could outwork me. And I got to thinking about that sometime, but how in the world does she get that strength? Where does she get all the ability to keep going? She done worked an 8-hour job, and then she'll come home and she'll cook me supper. She'll cook her daughter supper. And then after that, then she'll go in there and she'll wash 3 or 4 loads of clothes. And then right after that, she might go by sweep a room or something like that, or dust or something like that. How can she do that? Where'd she get the strength from? She got the strength from Adam. Because God took one of Adam's ribs. That's when men became the weakling of the couple.
Oh, man. All righty. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And, Father, I pray, God, that every word was said this morning, Father, you know the words that were said. Father, if it was anything at all that I said out of the way, or I said wrong, oh, Father, would you forgive me for that right now? And, Father, I really just don't understand why you allowed me to be the leader here at Faith and the under shepherd. Lord, because I know I cannot do nothing without you. And Father, if I've done anything down here, Father, since I've been here, that if I've done anything that shouldn't have been done, or in a way I've done it, oh, Father, I ask the people today to forgive me for that. And I've already asked you to forgive me for it. I asked you to forgive me for what I say every time I stand behind this pulpit. Because, Father, I don't take this lightly. Because what I'm handling, and you taught me this, you are handling life itself. You are the go-between between me and individuals. And as long as you stay faithful And as long as you keep going the way you're going, Donnie, I promise. I've promised you. Now I'm going to promise the people that yes, a brighter day is coming. A brighter day is coming for Faith Baptist Church. Father, help us that we may see people come in. We may see people come in and want to get saved. And we see people that want to come in and just join this fellowship here. Father, you're the only one who can do it. I cannot do it. The people cannot do it. The only thing we can do, we just have to stay in complete contact with you. And Father, I know that you're not going to let us down. You never have. And I do not think and I do not believe that you're going to about to start now, letting us down. Yes, Father, I love this church. I love these people. And for the people here, I'm asking, Lord, would you please give them something this week that they have prayed and they've asked for, but Father, maybe they has not yet received it. Father, allow the people to receive the blessings that come from you. And Father, right now, Lord, if you don't want to bless me no more, you don't have to. But Lord, I say this. If there's a blessing that I want to lose, I don't want to lose any. But if I do happen to lose a blessing, my prayer is, Father, that you would allow the blessings that I've lost come into maturity with the people here. They can get up and they can sing, they can shout. Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. I mean, it's number one thing from keeping us from worshiping you the way you want us to worship you, Father. And that's us. That's the obedience of our life. Father, thank you. Go with these fine people this week. Go to their respective homes, Father, if they have family come in this afternoon or tomorrow, or sometime this week, or whenever. Father, my prayer is that you may be a part of the conversation that they have with the family. And Father, that they may want to just breathe a little of your grace upon the family. Just tell the family how much we love them. And I know, Father, that I've done some things here in the past, but I've learned some things also. Father, I know that I can handle it different this time around if I have to go through it again. Father, we thank you. And we love you with every ounce of breath that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.